You feel old. For 100 years, God's Word has been proclaimed from the pulpit of St. Paul Lutheran Church, Wood River, Illinois. And generations of God's people have heard that Word, have believed that Word, and have lived that Word. Given the new life that God gives to those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. First there is the preaching, then the hearing, the repenting, the living, and the believing. I rejoice today with you that I was privileged to preach God's word here and live in that God-given fellowship of this congregation. You ready for this? From 1983 to 1991. The 77th through 86th anniversary years, way before you were born. And that I can celebrate with you today, this significant 100th anniversary. Oh, the memories. We'd be here all day. But just one stands out. Back then there was this lanky, tall, eighth grader in my confirmation class sitting in the back of the room. Not long ago, I was asked to preach for the ordination of a son of our current congregation down in southwestern Missouri. Since I wasn't going to be flying back until Monday, I looked around to see where I might go to church on Sunday. And I looked and looked. And how pleased I was to discover Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, part of Kansas City, where none other than that lanky former eighth grader is now the Reverend Tyler C. Arnold as pastor. It made me feel very proud to hear him preaching the gospel and teaching Bible class that morning. He must have heard that somewhere else. And so it goes. What goes? Well, the gospel of God goes, claiming, restoring, saving generations of lives, again, generations as with Jack this morning. And this year, then, we celebrate our congregation that is only 1/5 of the 500 years since Martin Luther began what would be called the Reformation of the Church. He didn't invent the Church. The one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, of course, we inherited and goes back to the original 12 disciples called and gathered around the Savior Jesus Christ. And that is to say that all the priests, pastors, and even the popes up until the Reformation are part of our Lutheran history and family and heritage. So as we celebrate these two anniversaries, the 100th anniversary of St. Paul Congregation, the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, we are telling the world the simple fact that it is still all about Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. Because he still lives and reigns and preaches and teaches and heals through his body, the Holy Church, throughout the world, and St. Paul Wood River as well. As we heard the Apostle Paul say in today's epistle, we preach Christ crucified, because that's where the power and the wisdom of God is. Look to that cross and see the wisdom and the power of God. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, in the entire history of the church, first there is the preaching, then the hearing, then the repenting, the living, and believing. The preaching of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount proclaims Jesus as Savior of the world, and then the new life that happens to all who believe in him. On this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we remember, don't you? The first of Martin Luther's 95 theses, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. We heard John the Baptist just a few weeks ago preparing the way, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then last Sunday we heard our Lord's first words, and they were the same as the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So how's your repentance? Today we can learn what that repentance and that kingdom looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, says Jesus, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being poor in spirit, of course, means knowing your need of God. And if you really know your real need of God, then of first importance you know that that has to do with the forgiveness of your sins. That's repentance. First, sorrow and contrition for your sins, and then faith that receives the relief for those sins. As Jesus outlines the new standards for the kingdom of God in the Beatitudes, one book I have is called The World Upside Down. He also reveals our sin, the sin for which we need to repent, the sin of believing and living upside down to God's call and standards. Poor in spirit? Hardly. How much of the time do we spend putting on a show and pretend that we are in high spirits, that everything's going okay? But not everything's going okay. Do you agree? We cannot ignore, for instance, in our day, the increasing opposition and animosity of the society to what God's Word teaches, the sanctity of all life from conception to natural death, the biblical view of marriage as the God-given union of one man and one woman, the safeguarding of our religious liberties as citizens, the issue of gender dysphoria, to name a few. To repent, to return, to believe and live according to God's will means, among other things, therefore, the suffering the onslaught and the attacks and the judgment of the devil and the upside-down world. Nevertheless, Jesus says, it also means that the kingdom of heaven is yours right now and to all eternity. That's God's grace and mercy breaking through all of that other clutter into your daily life, giving you peace and forgiveness. Blessed are those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We mourn that death still has such a hold on us. Meekness is not exactly how we conduct ourselves in the business or academic world or even in the church anymore. We demonstrate our lack of hunger and thirst for righteousness when we remain satisfied with our own pride and neglect of God's word. Because of Jesus' compassion and his own lowering of himself, however, to endure the wages of our sin in repentance and faith, we discover God's comfort and true righteousness, which is by faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yeah, see, it's still all about Jesus. How are your acts of mercy lately? The purity of the motives of your heart, your success of making peace with one another. When you know the Sermon of the Beatitudes that way, we hear the call of repentance for our lack of love. In Jesus, however, we discover and receive the mercy of God, the vision of God providing for all of our every need, our new status as sons of God. It's still all about Jesus. Now, it's that day-to-day living that's always the challenge. At least, of course, it's always been for me. How many times over the past years of our life haven't we come away from situations knowing that we blew it, that we were wrong, that we didn't handle things or other people rightly or with kindness, that there are things we wish we hadn't said or done. Some of our troubles, of course, we make for ourselves and can't be called persecution from others. Today, we have another opportunity. First, to repent again, to confess our sin and need, and then to turn to God. And by faith in the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive that forgiveness anew, almost like never before. It wipes out the condemning power of those past sins you just cannot forget, that continue to bother you. The forgiveness, Jesus says, is all of those sins are gone. You see, repentance isn't just a one-time thing, like Luther said. It's that daily rhythm of what it means to believe and live by faith. As Luther said on his dying day, it's true, we all are beggars. And we would add today, it's true, it's still all about Jesus. 100 years. The older I get, that's turned into an excuse, a calculation of everything that I've been through in the past, saying, oh, that was 100 years ago, right? But not everything is to be remembered from the point of view of sorrow or contrition. Today we are to remember not only the word of God, but the deeds of God, the very real deeds he has done in the lives of our predecessors, our grandparents and mothers and fathers, all those who have gone before us to this day, and indeed in all of our past years. The deeds of God include what we saw this morning, our adoption as sons and daughters of Christ by our holy baptism. His deeds include his gracious coming to us in the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood that was given to us on the cross, strengthening faith in body and soul all the way until we reach our final goal, when repentance will cease. And we will rejoice to see our Lord face to face in the paradise of his eternal kingdom. Now, today, with such a blessed promise in mind, we are called again to repent again, to believe again, and to live God's word again, especially for the sake of our children, our neighbors, and our generations to the last day. 100 years, 500 years, all your years so far, it's all about Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For 100 years, think about it. 100 years, God's word has sounded forth from the pulpit of, maybe I should say pulpits, the other place downtown, of St. Paul Evangelical Lutheran Church in Wood River, Illinois. And generations of people have believed and have lived that word. They've been given new life, the new life that God gives to those who repent and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. First there is the preaching, and then there is the hearing, and then there is the repenting, the living, the believing. I rejoice with you today that I was privileged to preach God's word here and to live in the God-given fellowship of this congregation from 1983 to 1991. What, you weren't born yet?
Yes.
The 77th through 86th anniversary years, and that I can celebrate with you today this significant 100th anniversary. So many memories. We could be here all day. But I only have one that really stands out to me. Back then, there was this tall, lanky kid that always sat in my eighth grade confirmation class way in the back. Well, not long ago, I was asked to preach down in southwestern Missouri for the ordination of a son of my current congregation. And as I wasn't going to fly back until Monday, I looked to see where could I go to church. And thanks be to God, I found a place called Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, part of Kansas City, where none other than that former lanky eighth grader is now the Reverend Tyler C. Arnold as the pastor. It made me feel quite proud to hear him preaching the gospel and teaching Bible class that morning. He picked up a lot more than I gave him in confirmation class by then. And so it goes. What goes? Well, the gospel of God goes, claiming, restoring, and saving generations of lives. This year we celebrate that our congregation is only 1/5 of the 500 years since Martin Luther began what would be called the Reformation of the Church. He didn't invent the church. The one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, of course, we inherited and goes back to the original 12 disciples called and gathered around the Savior Jesus Christ. And so that is to say, if you think about it, that all of the priests and pastors and even the popes up until the Reformation are part of our Lutheran history, our family and heritage. So as we celebrate both anniversaries of St. Paul Congregation and the Lutheran Reformation, we would remind the world of the simple fact that it's all about Jesus. It's all still about Jesus. He still lives and reigns and preaches and teaches and heals through his body, the Holy Church, throughout the world, yes, and St. Paul Wood River as well. As we heard in the epistle today, the apostle says, we preach Christ, and we preach Christ crucified. You want to see the power and the wisdom of God, you look at Christ the crucified. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, in the entire history of the church, first there is the preaching, and then the hearing, and then the repenting, the living, and believing. The preaching of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount proclaims Jesus as Savior of the world, and then that new life that happens to all who believe in him. On this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we remember the first of Martin Luther's 95 theses, right? Say it with me. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed that the entire life of believers be one of repentance. The entire life. We heard John the Baptist only a few weeks ago preparing the way, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then last Sunday, we heard our Lord himself open his mouth and preach, saying the same words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, how's your repentance? Today we can learn what that repentance and that kingdom looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, says Jesus, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being poor in spirit, of course, means simply knowing your need of God. And if you really know your real need of God, that means that you've discovered that you have sin of which to repent. That's repentance. First, the sorrow and contrition for your sins, but then faith that receives the relief for that need through the forgiveness of your sins. You received it already this morning, but that isn't enough. Lutherans are not that holy to live that long without sinning again. That's why we receive the Lord's Supper and all of the blessings of God's Word. As Jesus outlines the new standards for the kingdom of God in the Beatitudes, One book I have on them is entitled The World Upside Down. He also reveals our sin, the sin for which we need to repent, the sin of believing and living upside down in God's call and standards. Poor in spirit? Hardly, we say. How much of the time do we show or pretend that we are in high spirits, that everything is going okay? But not everything is going okay. Agree? We cannot ignore, for instance, the increasing opposition and animosity of the society to what God's Word teaches these days. The sanctity of all life from conception to natural death. The biblical view of marriage as between the God-given woman, union between a man, one man, and one woman. The safeguarding of our religious liberties as citizens. The issue of gender dysphoria, to name a few. To repent, to return, and to believe and live according to God's will, therefore, is going to mean, in part, suffering the onslaught and attacks and judgment of the devil and the upside-down world around us. Nevertheless, Jesus says, it also means that the kingdom of heaven is yours right now and to all eternity. That is, God's grace and his mercy reaches down to you brand new today and every day. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yeah, we mourn. We mourn that death has such a hold on us. Meekness? Well, that's not exactly how we conduct ourselves in the business or academic world, or sadly even in the church anymore. And we demonstrate our lack of hunger and thirst for righteousness while we remain satisfied with our own pride and neglect of God's word. Of course, because of Jesus' compassion and his own lowering of himself to endure the wages for our sin, to become the hungry one, to become the mourning one, to become sin for us in repentance and faith in him. We discover God's comfort and true righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes, it's all about him. It's still all about Jesus. So how are your acts of mercy lately? The purity of your motives of your heart. Your success at making peace with one another. You put the Sermon of the Beatitudes that way, and we hear a call of repentance for our lack of love. Well, God so loved the world, and that includes you. And so we discover and receive the mercy of God, the vision of God, providing for our every need day by day, and our new status as sons of God. It's all about Jesus. It's that day-to-day living that's the challenge. At least it always has been for me. How many times over the past years of your life haven't we come away from situations knowing that we blew it? We were wrong. We didn't handle things or people rightly or with kindness. That there are things we wish we hadn't said or done. Some of our troubles, of course, we make for ourselves and cannot be classified as persecution from others. But today we have another opportunity, first to repent, to confess our sin and need, and then to turn to God, and by faith in the blood of Christ shed on that cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to receive that forgiveness anew, almost like never before. It wipes out the condemning power of all those past sins you just can't let go of or forget. They're gone. They bother you, but they're gone. In forgiveness, Jesus says all those sins are gone. You see, repentance isn't just a once-in-a-lifetime thing, like Luther said. It's part of the daily rhythm of faith, of what it means to believe and to live by faith. 100 years. I don't know about you, the older I get, I find myself referring to that more and more, as in saying, oh, that was 100 years ago. Well, it's only been 27 years ago here, but it seems like 100. Not everything is to be remembered, however, from the point of view of sorrow or contrition. Today we're to remember not only God's word, but the deeds of God, the very real deeds that he has done in the lives of our predecessors, our grandparents, our parents, and all of those who have gone before us to this day, and indeed in all our own years. Think of them. Name them. God has been active in all of our lives, including his adopting us as his sons and daughters, as he did with Claire today, in the waters of holy baptism, including his gracious coming to us in the sacrament of his body and blood given for the strengthening of faith and with repent that until we reach our final goal, when repentance will cease and we shall rejoice to see our Lord and Savior face to face in the paradise of the eternal King. Now, today, with such a blessed promise in mind, we are called to repent again and believe again and to live again God's word, especially for the sake of our children, for the sake of our neighbors, and the next generations to our last day. 100 years, 500 years, all your years so far, it's still all about Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.